My guest for this afternoon has arrived, and that's Janelene from the Labor Environment Action Network. Welcome, Janelene. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We had Janelene in a little while ago on another topic, but she's here this time as part of the Labor Environment Action Network. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what that is, and we'll take it from there?
Yeah, so the Labor Environment Action Network, we call ourselves LEAN after our acronym, is a group that set up in the Labor Party quite a long time ago to kind of push for ambition on climate and the environment. We're in a kind of second incarnation now, which started in 2013 after a fairly devastating election loss, where there was a real risk that the party would draw from that election loss that they should just drop all action on climate change in particular. And so we campaigned quite hard for, at that stage, what sounded like a very ambitious target of 50% renewables by 2030, which obviously we're on the cusp of exceeding now. Then in 2018, and this is where this week becomes very topical, we campaigned very hard for reforms to the national environment laws, and in particular for the establishment of an independent environmental regulator.
And so just to be clear, the LEAN is a lobby group that operates within the Labor Party that seeks to influence the parliamentary party to bring on legislation that achieves those, you know, climate and environmental objectives.
Yeah, so our main modus operandi, I guess, is to work at the triennial Labor conference, which sets the national platform, which binds the parliamentary party. So we have basically a big campaign before each national conference. The last few years have been all about the environment.
And it's quite topical this week because there is legislation before the parliament this week that Minister Murray Watt is pushing to get through to do something about addressing the deficient environmental legislation that's been there for far too long and not doing what it should be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And quite honestly, I mean, the outstanding feature of these environment laws is that they're not just terrible for the environment, but they're also terrible for business. So really nobody likes them. They're very costly for business because the uncertainty and the discretion that is built into the current laws basically exposes business to a lot of legal action and just not knowing what they have to do because there are no actual benchmarks for environmental outcomes. And this is one of the big things that the reform bills, which are currently before the parliament, are trying to do. They're actually trying to set some real benchmarks for environmental outcomes.
Now, this is, it's a contested space, and a lot of that contest is in part between going for something that's seen as perfect by some parties and versus good by others. And you've got pressure coming from both sides because the Greens want more action on some things, if you like environment and climate, and the Liberals are looking for more action or a different outcome in terms of business and the economic dimensions to that. Do you want to step us through what's going on and just where the reality is?
Yeah, so I actually think what these laws are trying to do and what LEAN has actually been campaigning on for a while is to get beyond this idea that if something is good for the environment, it must be bad for business and vice versa. Because, as I said, the current laws are bad for both. I think what these laws are trying to do is actually set up a framework that sets environmental outcomes as a clear benchmark, and there is a couple of mechanisms for that, one of which is to define these things called unacceptable impacts. And the idea is that if you are going to, you know, as Murray says, build, you know, dig up Uluru, that is an unacceptable impact, and that will just be a no. So this is an attempt to actually define those in the legislation. The second thing is national environmental standards, which were a key recommendation of the latest review of the environment laws, which came out 5 years ago by Professor Graham Samuel. And the idea was, again, outcomes-focused standards for the environment. And what this means is that business knows what it has to do. So most companies don't want to destroy the environment. They want to do whatever it is that they do, and they want to abide by the law, but they need to know what they have to do. So one of the things that this should do is actually deliver that certainty for business so that they're not just guessing what they have to do. They're not just constantly scrambling for extra information or being concerned because, you know, somebody liked bushwalking there.
Yeah.
It actually says, here are the matters of national environmental significance. This is what you have to do to make sure that you can protect those. And hopefully that will actually make it easier for business to operate and not get tied up in uncertainty.
Yeah, because we had a rather extreme example of that a few years ago with the Juukan Gorge incident, where it was completely within the law, within the legislation for the company concerned to blow up those, heritage, caves and so on. No problem at all as far as the legislation was concerned. So that sort of should have, and I think it did ring some pretty loud alarm bells that this is just not working and we need to fix it. And the other thing, just before you come back on, I do notice that, you know, you mentioned there that it was 5 years ago that Graham Samuel, who's a respected, advisor and person to look into these things, gave his report to the previous government. I think it was Susan Lee was the environment minister at the time. So this is not a Labor Liberal thing. This is a national thing. So,
yeah, no, it should absolutely be a bipartisan thing. Yeah. I think, I mean, one of the other examples actually of how unacceptable impacts could have saved a company from an awful lot of expense is Toondah Harbour. So, you know, there was a proposal to build on Toondah Harbour, which is a internationally recognised wetland. It dragged on for 10 years, cost the company millions of dollars. It should have just been a no.
Yes. And that's part of this new legislation, is faster yeses and faster noes.
Yeah. So we've done the faster noes. The faster yeses should come from streamlined approvals. Now, a lot of environment groups, understandably, are very, very nervous when they hear streamlined approvals. Streamlined approvals should not and does not have to mean you skip over environmental requirements. What it should mean is that the environmental requirements are clear up front so that when you are actually developing your proposal, you know what they are, you know what you have to avoid, and you design your proposal in such a way that it doesn't damage the environment.
Yeah, and because you've already front-end loaded the unacceptable outcomes, so that's already out there for all to see. And so, you know, just to use that extreme example, don't come along asking to search for minerals under Uluru because you know it's going to be a no, save everybody a lot of time. And that's up front and out there. There's no guessing game involved.
So that's the idea. Now, I think, I mean, there's been an awful lot of kind of misunderstanding and misinformation out there about what is actually in these bills. And look, I understand they are very complex. There's, you know, 1,500 pages of stuff. And I've got to say, the way they've been drafted, because they're amendments to the existing act, it's actually very hard to follow them. You know, there's no table of contents. Obviously, we've been involved in this process for a very long time, and I've got to say, one of the criticisms that I've heard from both the Coalition and the Greens is that this is all being done in a massive rush. So I think, yes, the Prime Minister did kind of bring forward his desire to see these laws passed within the first year of the second term of government to this year, which is, you know, anybody with a calendar can see that's about 5 months short, so that's quite a lot. But, as I said, Graham Samuel produced his report 5 years ago. Tanya Plibersek, as Environment Minister last term, spent literally 3 years working intensively on this. So what Murray Watt is putting forward to the Parliament is not something that he made up since May. It is actually building on 3 years worth of very, very solid work by Tanya Plibersek, which was also very, very extensively consulted on. So none of what is in this current package should be a surprise to anybody who's been paying attention. And obviously the main people who are interested, as in the environment groups and the key business groups, have been paying attention. So I don't think it is an unreasonable rush. And I think the fear is that if it drags on and on and on, we end up just going around again in circles and political point scoring. And as you say, this should be a national interest endeavour.
Yeah, so the delays, you know, there's no environmental or climate change reasons to go slowly on this, and there's a lot of work has already been done, and it was a report that was commissioned and presented to the previous government. So really to be, you know, sort of arguing against what you previously fought for, it just doesn't make any sense. And we, you know, as a country, we don't have a good record for environmental and extinction issues and protecting, you know, what should be World Heritage listed sites and so on. So it really is time to up the ante and put a bit of urgency into it.
Yeah, yeah, we're actually gold medalists in mammal extinctions over the last 200 years, which, you know, obviously is not a thing that we should be celebrating.
No.
So I think there is a good reason for getting these laws passed quickly as well, which is that we've got a huge number of renewable energy projects and housing projects and critical minerals projects and infrastructure that need to be done. Like, there is a massive building effort that is required in this country to get to net zero by 2050, to get to, you know, what is it, 62 to 70% by 2035 or 43% by 2030. And the key to the first goal of 43% by 2030 is getting to 82% renewable energy by then. And we need to build a colossal amount of renewable energy. Now, we in Lean are not subscribers of the view that you just build renewable energy regardless, right? I mean, we totally get the climate crisis is real. We really, really want to address it, but we also really, really want to protect the environment. So if we can have the renewable energy rollout within a framework where those projects are also assessed and make sure that they don't create unacceptable impacts, that they don't have a bad effect on the environment, then, you know, I think we're all better off. The other thing I would say is one of the other really important innovations in these reform bills is the idea of net gain. Now, the current bill says there should be no net loss. And what that has actually meant project by project is managed decline, basically. The baseline sort of lowers each time. The idea here is that if you're going to do some acceptable but still significant environmental damage, so you're not allowed to do unacceptable damage, but there may be some damage, then you need to be looking at restoring the environment as well, so that what you leave at the end of it is better than what you had at the beginning. So I think that is the way, it's that restoration piece that will actually start to make a real difference in terms of not just protecting what we've got, but actually starting to fix some of the degradation that we've had in the past. So that's, I mean, I'm not going to tell you, as you said, you know, there's this argument about perfect and good. We do not think these laws are perfect. We do not think this reform is perfect. What we do think, though, is that reform is not a thing that happens all at once. Right? It is a continuous process. And what these bills will do, even imperfect as they are, is they will establish a new baseline so that the next set of reforms is starting from a better place. And then we can look for more ambition in the future.
Yeah, and that sort of raises the really tricky part for this week, isn't it? Because, you know, the politics is brutally about the numbers, and the two parties that, the two major, you know, groups that need to come to some compromise on what they're asking for and what the government's asking for and so on, are diametrically opposed. And the government can't get it through without at least one of them coming to an accommodation. So that begs the question about where is the red line below which you just cannot go. And I know that's a question you probably can't ask. You can't answer. It's because it's a case of how long is a bit of string, but that's where the rub is, isn't it, this week, is to just get something through that is an improvement rather than just the minimum amount possible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, I'm going to be honest. I think the current bills, unamended, are an improvement. I actually do. I don't understand some of the criticisms that have been made that they give more discretion than previously. They don't. They actually give less discretion than previously. I don't understand an argument that I heard from some quarters that they will somehow make it, that will somehow facilitate approvals of fossil fuel projects. I don't see anything in these laws that makes it easier for fossil fuel projects than any other kind of project, and I see a lot of things that should actually make it harder because there will be more stringent environmental conditions attached. So the government has said it doesn't want to do a climate trigger, but it nonetheless is putting in place a lot of environmental requirements that any significant project is going to have to deal with. So I don't really understand some of those arguments. I tell you, I have been through these bills for the past 3 years. We've been deeply engaged in the reform process. So I am also kind of disappointed that some of the crossbench, and look, I get it's difficult for independent senators and House members, given the resources they have, to scrutinise every single piece of legislation to the degree that a political party can, and especially, you know, a party of government that has public service resources at its disposal. I am a little disappointed, though, that some of them have, I think, not engaged sufficiently in the detail of the bills and have just relied on summaries by organisations that may not be delivering correct information. Yeah. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah. Mind you, 1,500 pages without a table of contents doesn't...
It's hard.
...doesn't facilitate the level of engagement that you're really looking for.
No, but I think the government has given briefings to... I know that they have given briefings to the crossbench. Obviously, you know, in the current configuration of the parliament, they don't rely on those votes. So I'm not going to pretend that Murray Watt has given, you know, the independents in the House or the Senate as much attention as he's giving the Greens or the Liberals. But, you know, they have been briefed. I do think that for something, I get that you can't get across every single bit of detail. I feel like if you are sufficiently committed to a piece of legislation to be putting forward amendments and to be talking publicly about it, you shouldn't just be taking, you know, an NGO press release. I feel like if you are going to go to that level on a particular piece of legislation, you should actually be engaging in the text of the legislation.
Yeah, and you can certainly engage at the level of principle if you recognise that what's there is not working. So we, by default, need something that does work, and we do need something that's better, and it might not be the best, it's just what you're saying, but it's better, and it's a step towards getting to something that's even better and perhaps the best. And you're never going to achieve perfection, but you should be heading in that direction rather than the other, and shouldn't be blowing up the shop just because you can't get 100% of what you want.
Yeah, I mean, totally. And look, we're in the Labor Party. We spend a lot of time with people who spent 100 years chipping away on weekends and then, you know, getting workers sick leave and then getting a recognition that people needed paid time off for various things. So, I mean, that is a, you know, that is a process that's been taking 250 years, right? Yeah. So I think maybe we hang out with people who have a slightly longer term perspective of reform, and just the idea that reform is a continuous process. This is not going to be the end of the story, right? If we get these bills through, absolutely, we will be celebrating as long as, you know, Murray Watt doesn't give too much stuff away. And we've been...
Because that is the risk, isn't it? That just leads to disenchantment and disengagement. And we've seen that before, where you end up with just the lowest common denominator, the least change that's acceptable, and it's nobody's happy then. So.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I'm not going to lie. We give the government a lot of free advice and we have definitely given the minister some free advice about what we would consider to be unacceptable in terms of stuff that needs to stay in the bill and needs not to be traded off. But having said that, assuming he's not going to do that, we would absolutely celebrate it, but we are not going to go away after that's passed. Mm. There are still things that we would like to see improved beyond the current set of reforms, and even beyond some of the things that, you know, he's offered up recently that were part of our preferred amendments. So things like removal of the land clearing exemption, things like bringing regional forestry agreements under national environmental standards, which is an ALP platform commitment that was won by Lean some years ago and is government policy. So, I mean, we are encouraged that he's talking about giving those concessions. If we don't get them, we will still be pushing for them.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is a step on a journey. This is not the ultimate destination. So let's just hope that people who are informed by the science and are of goodwill can come together and do something for our environment and our species so that we stop the extinctions, we stop the environmental damage, we stop the needless destruction, and yet we still prosper as an economy and a society that way. That there has to be a middle ground and a satisfactory place where you can meet all the requirements.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I'll be honest. I mean, I do think that having certainty for business is good for the environment as well, because you are less likely to get rogue actors and you are less likely to get stupid, capricious decisions. Mm. So I think, you know, I really don't like the characterization that the coalition is all pro-business and the Greens are all pro-environment and these two things are necessarily in conflict. I actually think the two things need to work in concert, and what is good for business certainty is also good for the environment, and high environmental standards that are very, very clear are also really good for business certainty.
Mm, exactly. All right, well, there's a big complex issue that I'm sure we've just scratched the surface on, and there are people who are getting paid a lot more than you and me. I don't know about you, but I certainly know for me, to try and find the way through on this. So I wish them well, and I wish you well and Lean well in basically being part of this process and hopefully getting to a satisfactory outcome. So are there any final comments you would like to make?
Look, I would just say, Godspeed to Murray Watt and Sarah Hanson-Young and Angie Bell and all the people in Parliament who are working very, very hard on this set of bills in the next few days. And I really, really, really hope we are going to get an outcome. And I hope that that outcome is going to be something that really delivers for both business and the environment.
Hear, hear. Okay. I've been speaking with Jan Lean from the Labor Environment Action Network about the environmental laws that are going before the Parliament this week.